The events, characters, and entities depicted on this podcast are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual entities is purely coincidental. If you're seeking to be offended, this is a good choice. And if you're easily offended, please throw away this listening apparatus right now. Okay, bye.
So what I'm trying to say is I don't understand what women are, I'm sorry to say, whinging about this imbalance, unbalance, whatever you guys are calling it.
The reality is, in the workplace, we talk about balance. We have corporate training on the topic of balance. We have balance sheets, but there is no gender balance.
What does that even mean? You're so
Hello, Dad. Hello, Mum. Welcome to the Frisk Aid Show.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Habibi, entertaining the nation, mate. I'm the best RJ in the world, and you know me.
To have to cut it short. We're expecting Rushdie for the Hangout podcast. That's coming up next.
Habibi.
One, I'm not your Habibi, and two, you really got to get out.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the Hangout with Rushdie. What's up?
It's been a while.
Oh, my God, you interrupted me.
It's pretty normal.
My guest for this evening is...
Osama. Here we go. Two guys and one mic.
Two guys, one mic. That was the actual name of the show before, but then I realized that's very sexist.
It's been a while, man. Thanks for having me back. I'll tell you how long it's been. The last time we hung out, it was before the pandemic.
No.
Yeah. So a lot has changed for me. What about you?
Well, first I want to say, damn, I was affected by the COVID-19.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, man. It's tough. I just realized because I thought I was cool. Things have changed. Things are busy. The world is different. What can I say? Goes without saying. Would you like some ginger ale?
Yes, please.
Yeah, go for it.
Thanks.
Here's some... Oh,
ASMR.
Nice. He's going for it. Oh, that was a very audible gulp. Are you trying harder to gulp right now?
I don't drink that way.
You're putting a performance.
See how the levels come on. I'm in a new studio with you today, so
yeah, that's right.
You've moved.
I'm in Motor City, and I don't want to give any more information out. Other people will hunt me.
Yeah, yeah.
Identity theft and all that.
Like true say. I moved as well.
Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah, I left the city.
It's been a while, actually.
I live on the edge of the city now.
Yeah, your neighbors are camels.
Camels and gazelles. Mm. I made a baby.
Oh yeah, well, good job, man.
So that was that.
You know
was
what they
really
say about babies, right? The man does all the work.
Yeah, that's totally untrue. It's all my wife, maybe even 95% of it. This has been the most transformative couple of years for me.
Oh, God, this is a dad speech. You know what? This is why Osama wanted us to like start up again very passionately. Now I realize it's just I'm a dad, blah, blah, blah.
It's been a cycle, I mean, with work, with the pandemic, with so many other people as well. Just being in the mix, I think
But first off, I just want to say I'm joking, just in case. I know I don't care about the listeners who will be like, why is Rushdie like this? But Osama will take it to heart, and I'll tell you a story about that later. But no, man, everyone says when they have their kid, it's like so joyous and so different, and they never thought they could love more. There are so many
For me, it's more about what it comes with, so that sort of leads into what I want to talk about today. Rushdie,
but wait, share a little. What's it like, man, having a little human?
It's absolutely incredible, and I mean that so sincerely. Try to emulate now, you know, some parents that I know and I have some parenting styles that I've seen. But leading up to it, no matter what you think and what you say and how you plan to raise your kid, or, you know, how you plan to even react, doesn't happen the way that you think about it. It never happens. And it's the most organic, I think, reaction and the most organic natural instinct that kicks in when you become a parent. It's so insane because your child also somehow knows you, and you're the dad, but they know you too. And raising her has been really amazing. She's 5 months old now, and I feel like this was probably the missing part of my life.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name? Yasmina?
Maya.
The story about the name is, so I was, we were doing F&B in the Courtyard Playhouse. And then at one point you said, you know, this happened with Maya
and, came
then
back from paternity.
And I said, who is Maya? And then someone said, yo, what the fuck you bleep that out, bub. So he swore at me and hit me. And I'm like, dude, which Maya? What Maya? He's like, my baby. I was like, oh, right. Sorry.
And
like,
I'm not a violent person at all. I don't even know where that came from.
I was just like, dude, I was thinking about the theater. I wasn't thinking about, you know, personal, because he made it sounded like something you'd do with an
And I
adult.
Think I caught myself. I said, oh, my God, I didn't mean to. It's a weird reflex.
Anyway, what's the show today about?
Well, I kind of want to take this Maya story and lead it into it. So when Maya was born, we're doing okay through the pandemic. We've been busy at work. I work in healthcare technology, and I never thought that, you know, things could get any more interesting. But when she was born, really, you know, a lot of interesting things happened for me and my wife and our home, and we've evolved and changed and we've grown as a result. And so I started looking at this, and you know, in my culture, I'm Pakistani, I was brought up in Saudi Arabia, so in my culture they say that when a child is born, they bring their own wealth and prosperity. You know, zikr,
not zikr,
baraka.
No. Oh no,
we're so you messed it up.
Both of us are wrong.
I don't want to be on the spot.
Risk, no?
risk. Oh yeah. Oh my God, risk. Yeah, prosperity. Yeah,
there
that's right.
There we go.
Zikr. Oh my God.
Yeah. Go
All right. Dyslexic. Gonna,
yeah, we
dyslexic.
Need to, yeah, we need to remove that.
And I thought, wow, that is true. That holds true. I think if that is a superstition, you know, I think that's true. And that's kind of what got me thinking, what other superstitions are out there? What do they mean? And I want to run a few of them by you and the folks here.
Let's go.
What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Sounds awesome.
All right. Well, this is I'm going to start you guys off with a nice, easy one. In Brazil, putting your bag on the floor means you'll lose all your money and become penniless. How do you interpret that?
Your bag is your baggage. But why is it linked to money?
Well, it started with wallets. It started with money bags.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's not just from Brazil, but this does sort of exist across Latin America and a lot of other cultures. I know in India as well. I think if money falls to the floor, it's seen as disrespect. You're disrespecting, you know, this hard-earned wealth, and you're disrespecting this risk that you have, right? So you got to amend it. But in Brazil, they take it to another level, so it's evolved from, you know, sort
but
of...
But is it your bag, like your shopping bag?
No, it's essentially, it went from your wallet to your purse to your bag, and it went from really things that have money in it to now things of your possessions, you know, in general. Your possessions would be in your bag. So it's kind of really gone to the next level over there. Do you think that is true?
No. I mean, first off, but that would mean being extremely superstitious over everything, I guess. But this seems more cultural, unless there is culture, superstition. What am I talking about? It's almost intertwined at some point, but...
Yeah, it is. I don't think about it. Like,
I
when,
think it's
when,
true.
When
I put my bags on the floor. Oh, no. I put my bags on the floor.
On the floor.
All the time.
On the football pitch.
That's
we always
why
leave
I'm
our.
Penniless.
Oh, my God. Oh, hang on a second. There you go. Evidence.
Go. This sucks. I don't like the episode anymore. It's getting too serious.
And me, I keep my wallet with my
if
wife.
You breathe
so
in oxygen.
I'm also penniless.
If you breathe in oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide, you will be penniless.
I mean, we could take it to that level. I do think, okay, here's I could give you an example where I think this makes sense, right? You're about to pay an employee, right? Employee walks up to you. You have an envelope of money. Yep. And instead of handing it to the employee, you throw it on the floor.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's just straight up disrespect. That is like...
Yeah.
You mean like I throw it on the floor and I'm like, there's your... salary?
Yeah, and then he has to pick it up. And what that does is you get bad karma. You get bad karma, and then something happens to you and you can't work anymore, and that's how you become penniless.
But this is my bag. I can put my bag wherever I want. What if it's a bag full of poop? I don't want to put it on the table. I want to put it on the floor.
I'm about to call bluff on this. I understand to a certain extent culturally. Yeah. Bag, I don't.
Mm. Oh, so this what we're doing is we're like
whether we're myth busting superstitions.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm with you
because we have that technical background
and that qualification.
Yeah,
share with the public.
Absolutely.
I say thumbs down. I don't want this. Pass. In Turkey, chewing gum at night is equivalent to chewing human flesh. Hence, Turkish people avoid chewing gums once the sun goes down.
That actually reminds me of another Turkish one.
What?
Oh my God. This one's another frightening one, actually.
This one is a...
So chewing gum at night... according to superstition, especially on a night like, for example, a big night, you have a graduation party or you're going on a big date, right? Is seen as chewing human flesh. Mm. And this comes from ghost tales that are really, they're transcendent stories in Turkey. This and the other one of the harem, have you heard that one? It just reminded me of this. It's not on our list, but... there's a superstition that, you know, they used to have bathhouses and people would go to these bathhouses. But occasionally, you know, somebody would die in there. And so there's this...
like occasionally, like as organic as possible.
There's a lot more to the tale of how this woman dies and, you know, it's quite tragic and so on. And the superstition is something like if there's a, I guess, a jacuzzi or a little bath inside of these bathhouses.
She's inside.
Well, if you stay in there past a certain amount of time or past a certain hour, then she's likely to come get you. You know, that's another Turkish one, which is interesting.
Get you as in she's going to kill you.
Possibly, or marry you, or I don't know, give you a massage.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a bathhouse, but... But it just, these ones, for me, these Turkish ones for me are
a
like...
A little too much?
Not too much. They're so obviously like meant for kids who are like chewing gum and their parents are trying to tell them not to chew gum or not to go to a bathhouse or whatever. Like, don't go there, otherwise the witch will get you. Or don't chew gum because it's like eating human flesh. You are, you know, are you a cannibal? Do you want fava beans with that?
Yeah. What do you think you are, a cannibal? I don't know how that's insulting, but... Yeah, I guess I can see it.
Turkey is very fascinating, and I think they do have a lot of these superstitions. That's an interesting one. What other scenario might there be? What other historical event might be the source of this?
Maybe at one time, anyone eating at night was assumed to be a cannibal because there was a food shortage.
And there were cannibals. There were maybe grave diggers.
Yeah, maybe. And then people said, yo.
That's it.
Yeah. No more chewing of the flesh.
Yeah. If we can't see you, you can't eat.
Yeah.
You know, no nighttime eating.
Exactly. No chewables.
Only what's that over there? It's almost certainly going to be human flesh.
Yeah. You know? Like, no, it's white meat. And they're like, nah. It's human meat. Yeah. I brought it to race. I always talk about racial issues.
Light meat. What about this?
Let's go.
In Sweden, people watch out for manholes because stepping on one means heartbreak and bad luck for years to come.
I like that one. It's kind of works by association, right? You step, you go down a never-ending or... abruptly ending pipe and you hurt yourself.
Yeah, I completely can.
I like
can. That is a very sensible one.
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, don't step over this manhole because guess what? If you were to fall in there, right, you probably break your legs first.
Right.
Maybe, hit your arms on the way down, possibly, you know, damage your wrist, your elbows. Maybe even have a hard landing, break your ass.
Most likely. Know?
Yeah.
Uneven ground.
Uneven ground, break your head. You don't even know what's down there. It could be a sewer with poop. You could get cholera.
How far can you fall down a manhole?
Yeah.
And I want to see it.
What I also want to understand is what are like average injury, you know? I could, yeah. So while you're looking that up, I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is sage advice.
How many people have died from falling down a manhole?
Oh my God.
In 2015.
Okay, 2015.
Whoa, I just got a pop up. No, yeah. I was going to click.
It says click allow if you're not a robot. What the heck?
They know, man. They know.
Is it like? Are you is kidding it, me? Are they? Is that website for robots only? So, because it's. You said yeah, and it's actually kicked you out.
Why will it just stop doing whatever you're doing? I can't check it. 165 people, something like that.
In what country? In the world?
I can't open it because my PC is so.
So that's 165 people who won't find love. Do you know why? Because their pelvis is broken.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if they find love, they can't deliver love.
Yeah. Thumbs up, Sweden. That one's a good one.
Yeah, we like it.
I like it. All right. Now, do you want to bring us to the next...
My pleasure. In Japan, the term used for thumb translates as parent finger. Hence, people put their thumbs in their pockets while crossing a cemetery, believing it protects their parents from death.
Hang on. So, let me just... Yeah, so, I'm holding up my thumb. This is my parent. This is my parent finger. All right. And then, so I have put their thumbs in their pockets. So, I have my thumbs out still. Right, my thumbs aren't folded into my fingers. Right, my thumbs are I have my thumbs up, and then I'm gonna put my thumbs up in my pocket. That's really uncomfortable. Yeah. Okay, but they're upright, so that means they're out of the grave. Right, if my hands are gray. Right, yeah. and I'm crossing a cemetery. So I've brought my parents safely across a cemetery.
You have
outside of the grave.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
What?
I love the emotion behind it.
Okay.
Completely bogus, obviously.
Yeah.
But. What a kind thought, because I've always thought Japanese folks...
Oh, well, where's this going?
I just think they didn't have empathy for their elders.
What are you talking about, dude? Japan? They have so much.
No, it's very different, you see. So all that respect and all the bowing and all those rituals are for custom's sake. Mm. A lot of Japanese parents, when they're old, live on their own. Mm. And a lot of their kids live in big cities. And this is actually a growing problem across Japan. We could talk about it maybe never. So... I didn't think that there was genuine love for the older generation. I thought it was all customs and culture, but it seems like that's sweet. Yeah. So for me to be happy was my humanity, my faith in humanity being restored in the Japanese folks. But as a superstition, is there any credibility to it, Rushdie?
Well, if you put all your fingers in. And it just says put their thumbs in their pocket. So it's just all your fingers. What about the other fingers? Who are they? What are they?
It's definitely my older brother is, on the folded one.
What if you don't like a family member? Do you stick that finger out?
That was the guy. That was the first guy I just mentioned.
I'm just like, so how would you stick your index finger out of your pocket while the other fingers are in safe?
Yeah, and I mean, I just tried this, but I put my fist.
Why do you put thumbs out, though? You don't need to give a thumbs up. It's right? Just hands in your pocket.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Why don't you just put your hands away and just forget about it? Right, just leave your hands as they are in your pockets or whatever they're doing.
The problem is if you forget, you're gonna get that call.
It's look, if you're gonna say that the thumbs are your parents, right? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. Your parents would be uncomfortable in those pockets. I just did that. I did thumbs up and I put it in my pockets, and my thumbs are really rubbing the edges of the pocket. Okay. You know what I mean? I really stretched it out. If those are my parents, they'd be cramped. I'm just saying. Lay them down. Lay them down and bring them through.
They give birth to you. This flat, is the least you can do.
Yeah.
Treat them with a little respect.
Stop cramping them.
Yeah. And why are you taking them around the cemetery? Take them to the park.
Yeah. Why are you even walking across a cemetery?
Come on, Japan.
Like, I'm sure you have other routes.
Anyway, we move on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
All right. Well, guess what? In Spain, people have 12 grapes on New Year's Eve as soon as the clock strikes 12, as it is believed to bring good luck. And I'll tell you something. I do have a few Spanish friends, and we've done quite a few New Year's Eves together, and it's true. Actually, it's weird because I think there was a they did 13 or maybe it was 12. You lose count. But you do, yeah, so you sort of start counting down 12 seconds to midnight.
Oh, really?
It's and like then, yeah, a grape.
Every second?
Yeah, and there's a song as well, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
We can, they can Google it. Yeah, they can Google it if they want.
Feliz Navidad. So I've done that and it's loads of fun. The 12 years, the 12 grapes symbolize, I believe, if I remember correctly, the 12 months of the year. But I could be wrong there. It's a good custom. I like it. It made our New Year's Eve fun. Mm.
To ensure good luck, people. Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, so it's eating a grape for each, you know, clock, each of the 12 clock bells. So it's not 12 seconds to midnight. It's actually the 12 dings of
the dongs.
The dongs of midnight.
The dings of the dongs.
And each of the dongs and each of the grapes represents the coming 12 months. So what you're doing is you're eating a grape to say, hey, I'm going to be prosperous and healthy and well fed and, you know.
And the year's going to be a bang.
Yeah. Grape.
Yep. It's gonna be grape.
It's gonna be grape.
On that note, this is the end of part one, which means if you want to know the rest, 6 to 10, you gotta tune in for part two.
This has been Osama.
This has been Rushdie.
Peace out.
Homies.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. Follow the Hangout with Rushdie on Facebook. Like, comment, and share. See you next week.